In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Come, Holy Spirit.
Fill our hearts with your faithful, and kindle in them the fire of your love.
Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created.
And you shall renew the face of the earth.
Let us pray. Father, you taught the hearts of your faithful people by sending them the light of the Holy Spirit, and that same Spirit help us to relish what is right and always rejoice in his consolation. We ask you this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Christ our King.
Thy kingdom come.
Virgin most prudent, Mary, Mother of the Church.
Pray for us.
Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I want to underline how important it is that as you're going through these meditations, that just because you're receiving new material does not necessarily mean that you should leave the old behind. If the Lord is stirring and you are finding light, motion, or being drawn towards some of these previous reflections or gospel passages, stay there. Stay there. Be like the bees, the honeybees. On their journey, they just go to one kind of flower. Did you know that? If they're doing daffodils that day, they just visit daffodils. They don't get distracted by other tulips or things like that. That's why flowers get pollinated by the bees. Isn't God's creation so amazing? Anyway, golden retrievers, bees, let's not get distracted by all these wonderful things. St. Paul, Ephesians 12, or 6, sorry. There is no Ephesians 12. Ephesians 6, 10 through 17. 10 through 17. What a way to wrap up a letter. Or an email or a text message. You know, I'm just going to write the most amazing, eloquent exhortation ever. At the end of her letter. It's just great, St. Paul. Finally, brothers and sisters, draw your strength from the Lord. From the Lord. And from his mighty power. Power. The word there in the Greek is dynamis. It's where we get the word dynamite from. It's the only word that St. Paul could really come to just capture this remarkable force that is breaking out among the first Christians, this dynamis of the Spirit, the power of God, new, never before seen. From his mighty power, put on the armor of God, so that you may be able to stand firm against the tactics of the devil. For, this is what our meditation is on right here. Number 12, Ephesians 6:12. For our struggle is not with flesh and blood, but with the principalities, with the powers, with the world rulers of this present darkness, with the evil spirits in the heavens. Let me read to you a little bit from the Legionaries of Christ, our ratio. It's called the ratio. It's like our little, as a grouping of spiritual nuggets. So this is what we have, and we call it Christus Vita Vestra. I really like this number. That's where this meditation comes from my reflection on this number. St. Paul himself affirms that our struggle is not with flesh and blood, but with the principalities, with the powers, with the world rulers of this present darkness, with the evil spirits that loathe mankind and draw us into evil, sowing hate and tears in the world. Jesus came into the world that through death he might destroy the one who has power over death, that is the devil. We reflected on that this morning. Hebrews 2:14. Regnum Christi members share in this same spirit and mission to invite people to accept the kingdom of Christ into their lives, destroying the works of the evil one. This is why we put ourselves under the protection of Saint Michael the Archangel. If the enemy is spiritual, the weapons with which we fight him are also spiritual. Resistance is a normal part of the spiritual life. When we hit a moment of resistance, we think we're doing something wrong, that something is amiss, that perhaps, well, maybe this isn't for me. Perhaps it comes from our fallen nature, perhaps it's a misconception, but I think so many people, and I include myself in this, think that following the spiritual life should be easy. But it is not. Anything that is good, noble, just, and worthy of praise is not easy. For example, the following is a list in no particular order of those activities which will elicit resistance. Number one, the pursuit of any calling in writing, painting, music, film, dance, or the creative arts, however marginal or unconventional. The launching, this is number two, the launching of any entrepreneurial venture or enterprise for profit or otherwise. Number three, any diet or health regimen. Number four, any program of spiritual advancement. Number five, any activity whose aim is tighter abs. Number six, any course program designed to overcome an unwholesome habit or addiction. Number seven, education of every kind. My high school self really knew that one well. Number eight, any act of political, moral, or ethical courage, including the decision to change for the better some unworthy pattern of thought or conduct within oneself. Number nine, the undertaking of any enterprise or endeavor whose aim is to help others. Number 10, any act that entails commitment of the heart. Number 11, the taking of any principled stand in the face of adversity. In other words, any act that rejects immediate gratification in favor of long-term growth, health, or integrity. Or, expressed another way, any act that derives from our higher nature instead of our fallen nature. Any of these will elicit resistance. So I have been a legionary now for over half of my life, well over half of my life. The years are going quickly. So every morning I get up and I go to pray. Well, I have coffee first. Strong, dark, black, thick, no cream, no sugar. The journey from my room down to the kitchen, back to before the Blessed Sacrament, I cannot tell you the resistance. Even after 30 years, it's like a spiritual battle every morning. Once I'm there and I'm settled before the Blessed Sacrament with my cup of coffee, okay, yes, things die down. But between there, going down the stairs and going back up, gotta check your email. I never check my email. Nor do I answer them. Why would I do it now? No, you never know. Like, did the Minnesota Vikings draft a quarterback? You know, how about that? How about this? Wah, wah, wah. I don't care about politics, but it's like, it's always like, oh, you should see about this or that. It's all of these things that are pulling at me as I go from, and then I get back before the Blessed Sacrament. And it's like, okay, I made it. I went through the crucible. I used to think something was wrong. Like, you know, I'm doing something wrong in my spiritual life. But I begin to realize this is really good. The resistance is an indicator. I'm on the right path. When I feel the resistance, I'm like, oh, there's some gold that is buried here. Something good. Jeez, this thing is bothering me to no end. Microphone resistance. Okay. Revelation chapter 12. This is a great passage to enter into contemplative with the contemplation, to visualize the passage. Within this passage in Revelation 12, we see the woman in labor pains, the child, and the dragon that is ready to devour. It's an evocative passage. It's also one that is very good because it shows resistance. Our landscape is a landscape with dragons. It's a landscape with dragons. Resistance is like a dragon that has captured this beautiful dream. It's there. The dream is symbolic of all of those great things that we are called to in Christ. The dream is all those things that are life-giving, flourishing, just, good, noble, graceful. Each day we are invited to put on the armor of God, to wield the sword of the Spirit, and to face down the dragon of resistance. The truth is this, the dragon, while frightening, is not as powerful as it may seem. It just knows how to show up during labor pains. That's when it shows up. When we are going through a lot, when we are not at our best, when we have grown weary with the struggle of life. This is when resistance shows up. The dragon's breath and talons and bite and tail are really just three things. Number one, avoidance. Number two, discouragement. Number three, doubt. Here's something else. The dragon tends only to lurk around those things that we love, around what we are drawn to, around those things that we deeply want to do or deeply want to happen. Between ourself and those things is always and everywhere resistance of some form. This is why it's so important to realize this amazing principle that St. Paul gives us. Our struggle is not with flesh and blood. In other words, many times the other person is not the problem. It's this reality, this mysterious reality between, this resistance that is there. St. Ignatius writes that part of discernment is to be aware, to understand, and to take action. So we want to be aware of the resistance. Understand that it is normal and take action by pushing through it. It is not this concrete individual, this concrete temptation, this situation that is the problem, but the spiritual forces behind it or between us. Anytime something good is about to be born into the world through virtue, through sacraments, through a resolution, through an endeavor, there's resistance. There's the wonderful psalm. I don't have it written down what number it is, but it says, they go out full of tears. They go out full of tears to work in the field, but they come back with their bags full, laughing for joy, right? They go out full of tears, they come back full of joy. Resistance. It could be very helpful to name these realities of resistance in our life. I have my little list I will share with you. I call it the small hidden demons of resistance. My small little hidden demons whispering in my ear. You know, pride, avarice, sloth, envy, lust, gluttony, they get all of the attention. We really don't need any discernment around those things. It's pretty clear when somebody's going through a temptation against one of those. No discernment is needed. It's the small hidden ones that subtly have become part of my life, like a barnacle clinging to the ship, such that I no longer even discern them. They become like thought patterns. So here they are, in the hopes that as I share these with you, they can help you can see maybe perhaps what might be going on in your life. Number one, the demon of yes, but. Yes, but. This one I hate. It's probably my number one. Yes, but why did it take you so long? Yes, Father Jason, you have advanced in X, Y, and Z, but why has it taken you so long? Yes, Father Jason, you did a great work in New York, but you could have done more. Yes, Father Jason, you spent many years at Old St. Patrick's Cathedral, but Manhattan never converted. In fact, it's worse than what you got there. Yes, that was a great retreat, but it's not going to last. Yes, that was a good talk, but the microphone was not working. Yes, you'll grow, but only a little. Yes, you made a good confession, but you won't change. Yes, you have faith, but what about all of your loved ones? Yes, but there's still many more souls to be saved. Yes, but no one joined Regan Christie. Yes, but no vocations to the Legion. And on and on and on and on it goes. The demon of yes, but. Oh, be gone. This one I learned from one of the priests in my community who is an exorcist. He's the exorcist for the diocese. This is how this meditation started coming together. I tell my legionary directors that it's really good. I think every legionary community should have an exorcist in the community because it makes for fascinating breakfast conversations. I am drinking my coffee and literally Father's coming in from the exorcism. And I'm like, so how'd it go? He's like, oh yeah, well, I got the demon's name. So when you get the demon's name, then you have authority. The exorcist has authority to cast out the demon. So I was like, oh, that's great. What was the demon's name? You want to know? Never. Never. The demon was never. 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 Look at you, struggling like this. It will never change. You will never overcome. You will never be worthy of God's mercy. You will never move beyond that moment in your past. You will never, 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 never. Shame on you. Shame on you. The demon of never. Isn't it amazing how you talk about demons and your microphone just goes crazy? Anyway, here's another one. The demon of pre-event desolation. Pre-event desolation. Before events in the spiritual life, a retreat, a talk, a new step in the spiritual life, a new group, a new endeavor, an apostolic activity, there's just something always that goes wrong. Why is it? I have this thing about printers. Like, it works 95% of the time, and then it's like I have to print out my talk, and it's like it's out of toner. Doesn't work, thing doesn't thing, blah, blah, blah. You know, it's always this pre-event desolation. The flight full of turbulence, start getting a cold, this and that, I forget this. There's always stuff. So hard to go on retreat. Why is it so monumental of an effort? Getting one guy who's thinking about the vocation to go to Cheshire is like moving a mountain. It is like, it's unbelievable. You know how easy it is to get people to go to Cabo? Why is that? Why is one thing so easy, the other thing is just remarkably resistant? It's really amazing. The demon of irreparable disaster. I had fun naming this one. That was my... Things are going badly, right? It's all over. This disaster can never be repaired. Even if you could make a change, you wouldn't take the necessary steps. Don't ever think it could be different. The demon of isolation. Look at you all alone. In the long and glorious history of the Catholic Church, you are the only one who has ever struggled with this. The only one. Such a lie. The demon of negativity bias. Look at this failure. Look at those priests that are scandalous. Look at that bad bishop. Look about these defects and that defects and over here and over there and problems and worries, challenges, all the negative. The whole blogosphere and Catholic media is just replete with the demon of negativity bias. Sometimes I just want to write a little comment, just one. But it's too toxic to even go into the comment box. But I would like to write just one. I would just say, be gone, Satan. No, I'm just kidding. I would just say, you know, could you like write about something good that's happening in your parish? Maybe Father, you know, he's just doing his best. What about those? Those great priests that are just doing their best. Right? Showing up. You know how hard it is just to show up? Faithful. Pope Francis is showing up. Shows up every day. Pope Francis, he's got sciatica. He's got one lung. He's sick. They push him around in a wheelchair. The man is giving everything he's got. Absolutely everything. People only look at the negative. It's the devil's big lie. In 1377, we had three popes. They all excommunicated everybody else. France excommunicated Germany. Germany excommunicated France. So then Italy excommunicated the other two of them. So they go back and excommunicate. The whole thing was a mess. The real pope was full of mental illness. The fake pope was over in Avignon drinking wine. We think we have it bad? Everybody's, oh, COVID. Yeah, talk about the bubonic plague. Walked out, like, wiped out two-thirds of Christendom. Two-thirds. You know the first one who was to go? The good clergy. They all wiped out. It was all wiped out. Everything. Boom, gone. Villages, towns. It's the end of times. This is the best of times. We don't have three popes and the bubonic plague. Not even close. Not even close. We don't have 100 years of war. 100 years of war. We do have the problems of our day and age. Anyway, sorry. You can tell I've wrestled with the demon of negativity bias. He almost got me. He really did. I'll be very frank. I was very challenged by the papacy of Pope Francis. But he is the vicar of Christ, the Pope, and I wholeheartedly put all of my being behind him and the direction that he is moving the church, because he is the Pope. And I will not listen to those who are negative. It's not of Christ. Not of Christ. As St. Catherine of Siena would say to one of the three popes, you are Jesus' sweet presence, sweet voice. Spiritual weapons, St. Michael, the archangel, defend us in battle. St. Ignatius gives us a wonderful, wonderful rule. It's called rule number 5 in his Discernment of Spirits. If I was ever to make a t-shirt, which really wouldn't be that hard, but if I ever was to make a t-shirt, I would just put the number 5 on it. The number 5, it simply says, in times of desolation, do not make a change. In times of desolation, don't make a change. You wait. You wait. Allow the Holy Spirit to speak into the moment. What you decide in the light, do not change in the darkness. Then Ignatius gives us the next rule of discernment, which is even more challenging, but just as important. Do not make a change except for change yourself intensely against the desolation. Our battle is not against flesh and blood, but on the resistance before it. What is the only thing I can change? Me. Me. Very slowly. Takes a long time. Long time. Long, long, long time. Okay, all of this to say that as we grow in our spiritual life, we grow closer to the Lord, we should expect resistance. It is normal. It is good. But we should also name it, to realize how it is present in our own life. By naming it, we gain authority over it. By having authority over it, we can say, be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. I'll finish one of my, I've told this story here before, but it just came to mind. I'll just finish with this. I was a young priest, and I got a phone call about somebody's house that had paranormal activity. And I was like, oh, awesome. This is what I was ordained for. So as we're getting closer to the day where I was to go bless the house, I was like, maybe that wasn't, like, my initial enthusiasm was starting to wane. And I was like, this is not as, you know. So I'm like, I search high and low for an exorcist, which was really hard to find here in this part. And I ended up getting in touch with Monsignor George Essef out in Pennsylvania. And I called him on the phone. And I said, Monsignor, you know, I'm going to go bless this house that has this paranormal activity. And what should I do? And he goes, believe in the power of your priesthood. And I said, okay. But what if, like, you know, the television picks up and is thrown over to the other side, or the walls start bleeding blood, or la, 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 la. He goes, no, no, no. Believe in the power of your priesthood. Just believe in it. I was like, yeah, but no, no, no. Believe in the power of your priesthood. That's all he would tell me. And then at the very end of the conversation, he goes, Father, do you believe in Jesus Christ? Like, that he's with you? He didn't mean it like in a condemning way, but like, do you really believe in the power of Christ over evil? That's really the question. Like, do I really believe in that? In the gift of the Spirit? That's what we want to move into. Yes, profoundly. Believe in that, and the one who has all things under his feet,